April 27th, 2010.
What happened to you guys?
Oh, Leon Kahn couldn't come on time. There's no traffic, but we just left late.
What did you call out?
We're in Saita, yes. Saita daf mem hei Ahmed Beis. Rabbi Kitenik has yard site for his mother on Erev Shabbos, so we dedicate the learning. On Friday, on Erev Shabbos. So we dedicate the learning Zech Nishmas Ita Bas Ramosha. Last week we learned the Mishnah has the Machloikas Satanoim. From what part of the body, if you have a mace, so you have to measure to the Ahoruk, not a mace, Ahoruk, someone was murdered. So you have to measure to the city, Svivas HaKhala, and whichever city is the closest has the mitzvah to bring the Egla Rufa. So what if it's Machza Machza? So that was a whole Machloikas Satanoim. What if it won't be Machza Machza? If you measure from the head, this will be the closest city. If you measure from the feet, that'll be the closest city. So which part of the body do you measure from? So the Mishnah had different opinions. So one opinion was, what does it say? Me'ayin ha'imoydidim. So Rabbi Lezer says, mitiburo, from the pupik. Rabbi Kiva says, mechotma, from the nose. Rabbi Kiva says, machmishanasacholo, mitzavoro, from the neck. So the Gemara says, what's the machloikis, whether mechotma or mitiburo? Maybe that's totally in the Shaila Tanoim had a scientific machloikis, a biological machloikis, when the fetus starts developing. Where does it start developing from? Does it start developing from the head? Does it start developing from the tibur? So the Gemara says no. How the fetus begins to develop, that's one question. There's a different question. Where is it called the center of the life of the person when he's walking around and he's alive? So he mentioned last week that there are those who thought, based on this Gemara, that life is determined. How do you determine whether a person is dead when you're holding by the end? So the Chevek Kadisha always waits when the person stops breathing, and he's not breathing for 15, 20 minutes, so then we assume that he's dead. So that's the Shilas. And the Gemara says that based on the Pasuk, Kol HaShanishmas Ruach Chaim B'Yapov, in Parshas Noach, by the Mabul, it says the living animals and the living people all died, all those who were breathing. Breathing means that they're alive, not breathing means that they're dead. So all the breathing, living animals died because of the mabul. So the Gemara says that breathing is a simon to determine whether the person is alive or dead. So that's what some Rabbanim thought, that you need independent breathing. The person has to be able to breathe on his own. And if he needs a respirator to help him breathe, so then since he doesn't have independent breathing, so he's not considered alive. So we said last week that it's highly, highly questionable. The Pashtus is based on some of the other Gemaras that the definition of life and death is blood circulation. We mentioned that the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, if you cause an animal to bleed on Shabbos, that's a malacha. Chavola is a malacha. So what's the malacha? Choyvel, to cause to bleed, is not in the list of the 39 obvious malachas. So it must be a told of some other malacha. So which malacha is it a told of? So there are different opinions. So the most popular opinion is what Tosfos says. Taisus says that chavola is a form of netilas neshama. Why is netilas neshama? The animal is alive. So Taisus says that Taisus quotes the pasuk ki hadam hu anefesh, that the blood circulates the oxygen into all of the cells of the body, and malikot lekula, malikot lepalga. Not only is one a violation of netilas neshama. Netilas neshama is the malacha that's called shochet in the list of the 39 obvious malachas. So tzod is one malacha if you trap a wild animal. And then shochet is another malacha if you kill the animal. Then mafshit, if you separate the hide from the animal, is another malacha. Then if you take the hide and you tan it, and you make it into leather, and you make it into parchment, so that's another malacha. So on the list, it's shochet. Because shochet is going to lead You have first Tzedah, Tzad, and Shoichet, and Mapshit, and Ma'abed. You have the whole list. And Shoichet is sometimes called by the Gemara Netilas Neshama, when you kill an animal. So Tosfos says, Tosfos borrows an expression from the Gemara in the end of Nida. The Gemara has such an expression. Malikot Lakula, Malikot Lapalgo. The Gemara happens to be talking about Dam. The Dam, in Bilam HaRosha, delivered Nevuas. And his Nevuas, some of his Nevuas are recorded in the Chumash. So he says b'nevuah that the Jewish people are going to have a marvelous future. And he says they're going to be successful in conquering Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to be victorious against the enemies. V'dam chalolam yishte. The Jewish people will be so successful in battle, they'll be, it's an expression, it's not to be taken literally, they will drink the blood of the enemies. V'dam chalolam yishte. Cholol is a horug, a dead body. So the Jewish people will be victorious in battle and they'll kill the enemy. So the Gemara says, since it says yishte, so that teaches us that dam is one of the zayin mashkim. There is said the mashkim that a machshel akabel tumah. The din is that oichlim, there are four things that are makabel tumah, odem mekelim oichlim a mashkim. So mashkim, oichlim, are only an apple is only makabel tumah if you rinsed it off first. If the apple fell off, kozman the apple is attached to the tree, even though it rains on the apple, that's not called Hechshel HaKabel Tumah. After the apple is detached from the tree, then you have to discuss, did it get a Hechshel HaKabel Tumah? Was it rinsed off with water? So then the Mishnah say, not only water, if you rinsed it off with water, if you rinsed it off with one of the Zayin Mashkim. So the Zayin Mashkim are specific Mashkims. So one of them is Dam. So Dam is not all Dam. So the Gemara says, Dam Shehaneshama Yotzebo is called a Mashke. Only that Dam, if you shoot a person and he bleeds to death, so then that's called the mashke. How do you know that dam shanasham yotzbo is a mashke? Gemara says this pasuk in Nevuah Bilam HaRosha that he says v'dam chalolam yishte, because it says yishte, so that verb yishte sounds like it's a mashke. So that's how you know that dam shanasham yotzbo is considered a mashke. Then the Gemara says, and what if a person accidentally has a bruise, an injury, and he loses some blood? So the Gemara says, Malikot Lakula, Malikot Lapalga. Not only Dam Shanashama Yotzebo, that's called Dam Amashke, even Dam Magofasoi, the Dam of an injury, is also called
But when you say Dam Shanashama Yotzebo, you're talking about by Shrita, when you cut the food Shrita, that's the Dam that Shanashama Yotzebo.
There's by Shrita, and then there's by
dam,
person.
The regular Dam in the rest of the body is not considered that
one. No, let's say a person. Dam by human being. Okay, the dinam of dam shanasham yotzba by an animal also. Right,
that. Not inside the animal, not considered that.
That's correct, right? So there, by animals, it's a difference. The din is it's forbidden to eat dam. It's an avera, and if you eat dam, sometimes you have kores, sometimes you don't have kores. So if you take a piece of flesh, we salt the meat, or the butcher salts the meat. So I remember. I was born a few centuries ago. I remember my mother used to salt the meat. Okay, your mother also salted the meat. Now the butcher salts the meat. So if you don't salt the meat, and if you cook the meat the way it is, so we paskin, it's only midirabbanan. Dam shebishla is only midirabbanan. Because once you cook the dam, it's not royal lizrak hagabi hamizbech. If you have a carbon and you cook the blood, so you're not yotzei, and dam is prohibited because anina sato lachem ala mizbech lachaper. So we paskin like that opinion anymore. There are more paskins. Svardim it's a diyun, whether they paskin dam shebishla is the raisa de rabbanim. But Ashkenazim for sure paskin the dam shebishla is only the rabbanim. So let's say if I take a piece of raw flesh, which I didn't salt, and I squeeze out the dam, and I drink it just like this. So that's called dam hoivarim, dam from the capillaries, not dam from a vein or from an artery, not from the heart, dam from the capillaries. So that's an isa de raisa, but there's no koris. If you shech the animal and the blood that comes out, the first blood that comes out is not going to kill the animal. The Gemara says the color of the blood changes when you cut the neck of the animal. So first it comes out one color, then when it's on the Shama Yotza, but then it's a different color, and then when it continues to come out, it changes colors again. So that blood, Dam Shama Yotza, but that is an Issa Korisan. Or Dam Hakonas Belev, Dam in the heart. That has an Issa Koris. And Dam HaYavarim has no Koris. So there, by animals, it's important to determine which is Dam Shanashama Yotzebo, which is not. That's relevant when you get to the Dinam of Koris. when you an Issa Deraisa it's going to be anyway, but it isn't going to be Kuris. If it's on Dam Shana Shama Yotzba. By Odom, Dam Ha Odom, it's relevant to determine which is Dam Shana Shama Yotzba, when you get to declaring it as a Mashke. The Dam of an Odom, Dam Shana Shama Yotzba, is Machshel Kabal Tumah. So the Gemara says in Nida, if a person cuts his finger, Dam Agofasa, Dam Agofa, an injury, a bruise, is also called Yitzias Neshama B'miktzah, because Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, Malikot L'Kula, Malikot L'Palgo. So Tosis is borrowing that Loshin, Malikot L'Kula, what's the difference whether you kill the whole organism, or you cause the little blood to come out, the blood is what keeps the organism alive. So that's a Pasuk Nechumish, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, that the circulation, the circulatory system, is what keeps animals alive. So Tosis claims, and that's what from all the different opinions, what's the malacha involved in chovil on Shabbos, if you cause bleeding on Shabbos. So the most popular opinion is Tosis, not like Rashi, not like the Rambam, not like the other Shitas. The reason why, because the Talmud Yerushalmi says like Tosis, that if you cause bleeding in an animal on Shabbos, it's a malacha of shochet, of netilas neshama, and the Yerushalmi doesn't give the explanation, Tosis gives the explanation. Ki adam hu hanefesh, malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga. The same the Gemara has in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says there's a din of Makka Oviviima Mois Yumas. We just had in Parshas Shavuot. Makka Oviviima Mois Yumas. So what does it mean, Makka Oviviima? I slap my father? The Gemara says, no, if I cause a chabura, if I cause bleeding. Why? Because it's based on a pasuk, Makke Nefesh Behemi Shalmena or Makke Odom Yumas. Makke Nefesh Behema Yishalmena or Makke Odom also means Nefesh Odom. Yuma. So the Gemara says, Make Nefesh Adam Yumas, even if I didn't kill him. I was just Make Nefesh Adam. The Gemara says, that pasuk goes on Make Ovivi Imoi. And it's only Nefesh. How do you get that the word Nefesh means bleeding? Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. Then the Gemara says, if you slap a parent and you cause a black and blue mark, also means that you killed that blood. That's dead blood now. That's also called Netilas and Shama, on the dead blood. So that's why many others disagree. They say the definition of life and death is not really breathing and independent breathing. The Chassam Sofer says that the breathing, he says in his Shuva, he thinks that the breathing is a similar dover, that he's alive or dead. But that's not the definition of life and death. Definition of death, the definition of life is when the blood is still circulating. Definition of death is when the blood stops circulating. But it has to stop circulating in an irreversible fashion. Let's say you put a tourniquet on the arm, and you stop the blood circulation. Then you take the tourniquet off. So the blood is going to continue to circulate. So you don't say that the arm was dead. We said Ramosha Tshuva last week. Yeah. That you can't put tefillin on the left arm if the blood is not circulating. If the blood is circulating, but it's just the nervous system is not functioning, it's paralyzed, so then the arm is alive. But if it's gangrenous, and simply if you cut it, the blood is not going to, there won't be any blood at all. There's no circulation. Then the arm is considered dead. So that's how you determine whether the person is alive or dead. And then, what do you mean? Let's say the fingers have no blood circulation. All the fingers and all the toes, they're all gangrenous. A person can be alive without fingers and without toes. There are people, Nebuchan, missing hands and legs and everything. Can live without ears, he can live without a nose, he can live without a lot of eivorim. The eivorim that he cannot live without are called eivorim sha'anashama tluya b'hem, the vital organs. So we discussed that the Rambam consistently, whenever the Mishnah has a din that has to do various different mesichtas, whenever the Mishnahs talk about a din of Anevash Anashama Tliyabo, so the Rambam always has the girsa that the Mishnah only mentions three Eivorim, the Kaveh, the liver, and the Rosh, and the Lev. There are more vital organs. That's all the Rambam. So it's a question, does the Rambam hold al pidin? The halacha only recognizes these three vital organs? So halacha l'moshe m'sina like that? The Gemara doesn't quote any psukim. Do they have a tradition al pi halacha, we only recognize these three? Or do we say lav davke? The Mishnah mentions three, and more than three is also more than three. So we're not sure exactly what the story is. And then there's a further question, when you say that the blood is no longer circulating to the vital organs, so the person is considered dead, what does that mean? The blood stopped. If you would ask me, I would have said, if one vital organ is dead, then the person is dead. You have to have all the vital organs have to be alive, that it should have vitality. If one vital organ is dead, is dead. If you say it like that, so like Rabbi Tendler has his argument. He says a person can have his liver is dead. He's going to be dancing in a wedding. It's not exactly dancing in a wedding. He can attend the wedding. He can be half dead. So he can be talking and walking and everything. He can have the liver is dead. He's going to die soon. So is it feasible? Is it possible to say such a person is dead? You could say Alpidin, such a person is dead. The liver is one of the vital organs. That's L'chol Hadeis. The Mishnah says Kovei. The liver is a vital organ. So you can say if the blood circulation stopped in a permanent fashion from the liver, you can say the whole person is dead. Or you could say, no, you need that all the vital organs should be dead. Or maybe you say Ruba Kekula, if Roiva of the vital organs are dead. So there are three possibilities. One vital organ, Roiva of the vital organs dead, or all the vital organs dead. Then inshallah, how many vital organs are there? If you say you need Roiva, you say you need all of the vital organs to be dead. So does the Allah only recognize the three vital organs that the Rambam says? Or do we recognize all the vital organs? Everything is very unclear. The Shaila is sometimes, let's say, they'll do a heart transplant. The heart for sure is a vital organ. So let's say you'll do a heart transplant. So you take out the heart and then you put in someone else's heart. And then the guy's going to live another 10 years. So do you say that when I took out the heart, a major vital organ was removed, there's room to say that the person is dead. And then when you put back the new heart, so you say, it's a Tchias HaMesim. It's a Tchias HaMesim. And the Gemara has a machlokes where the mitzvah's betelus lasi lava, and mitzvah's same betelus lasi lava. The Gemara has a machlokes. The pasuk says, mesim chavshim. What do you mean, mesim chavshim? So the Gemara interprets, kimin shemes adam, nasa chavshim in a mitzvah. A dead person is potam in a mitzvah. What's the chiddush? A dead person is buried in the ground. So the Gemara says, no. A dead person after Tchias HaMesim is still Patam in HaMitzvahs. Once he's dead, Kivish HaMesah Adam, Nasa Chavshim in HaMitzvahs, even if he'll come back to life, he'll be Patam. So the Gemara envisions that Lossi Lava, after Tchias HaMesim, we'll have a lot of people walking around the world. Some of the people will have been born from parents, who were born from parents, who were born from parents. And other people will be walking around, they were dead and buried for 1,000 years, and they just came back to life. So these people will be Patam in HaMitzvahs, these people will be Chayim in HaMitzvahs. Wow. So the guy's patam and amitzvahs can't be the baltakeya because mishenim b'chiyah b'dorei emotzi arabim v'dechay v'osam. So let's say they did a heart transplant on someone, he took out his heart, and if you hold that, if you take out one vital organ, you're dead. So he's dead, and then you put in a new heart, so that's called tchias hamesim, and then this guy's patam and amitzvahs.
Well, when you do a heart transplant, you have a heart lung machine, it has circulation, but he's not dead.
He has the circulation, but he doesn't have the heart. So maybe you should assume that if he's missing a vital organ. So that's why Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes like this. He says, human beings don't have the ability to do Tchias HaMesim. So he writes, if we did a heart transplant, if we were successful and he lives on afterwards, so we assume that he was never dead in the first place. And then when he dies ultimately, so you starve him, and then that's the yard site. If we attempted to do a heart transplant, and we hook them up to a heart-lung machine, and then it doesn't work, so then we say, Gloy Muslim Afred, and when we took out the heart, we just killed them. So the yard site is that day. He says, but you can't say that once you take out the heart, it's gestorben, and then we made a Tchias HaMesim. He assumes that human beings can't do Tchias HaMesim, so by definition, you have to assume that he was never dead in the first place.
So how about the Amoroim?
The Gemara says that there were Amoraim who had the ability to do mopsim like Chassidus Rebbes, like Eliyahu and Elisha. They did Tchias HaMesim. Okay. So the Gemara says that Amoraim had the koyach like Eliyahu and Novi, like Elisha. They did Tchias HaMesim. Okay. So that was a real mace, and after Tchias HaMesim, takapotam and amitzus. That was really dead. That was a b'derech nes that he came back to life. But if a doctor takes out a heart and he puts in a new heart and the person survives, so that's why Shlomo Zalman says, we don't assume that he was dead and then we did Tchias HaMesim. We declare that he was never dead in the first place.
I was talking to a doctor who's he's putting patients under when they make all kinds of surgeries. So I say, when do you know? If I ask him, how do you know that the person is not alive anymore? So he said, looks at the heart. And his brother's also a doctor. They are both sons of a doctor. So they figure when the heart stops, that's the end of it.
Usually? Okay. Yeah.
not just the organs like you mentioned, so the heart. His heart stops, that's it.
I mean, the heart stops and no blood circulation.
That's what I figured. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
What if you put them on? What if you put them on a machine and starts, and the heart starts beating again?
Right. So that's where Moshe Feinstein quotes the Gemara in Chayres. The Gemara talks about the Mumin, Parshas Hashavua. A coin is a balmum is possible to be makub karbonis, and a carbon that's a balmum is possible hakrova. So the Gemara, in the middle of the discussion of the Mumin, usually even those who learn Kotchim, even those who learn Chayres, skip these dafim in the Gemara. But Moshe knew everything. So Moshe quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you have the blood circulation stopped in an irreversible fashion, then it's considered dead. But if the heart stopped, and then we succeed in reversing it, and then the blood does continue to circulate, so it's a glory Muslim afreya, that didn't count.
Are you allowed to put a machine on?
Yeah, why not? You're allowed to. Are you mechuyif to? When a person is mamish holding by the end, are you mechuyif to keep on?
And the heart stops.
So sometimes you do them a big taiva. You cause the heart to continue to function, and the fellow will live another couple of years. Why not? So sometimes it's a big mitzvah. Shaila, are you mechuyif to do that? Is one how far do you have to go? How much are we obligated to treat the patient? When a person is holding by the end, are you mechuyif to keep on doing whatever you can in order to extend his life? So there was a great goyin, the Stipler goyin. He was the brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. He came from Horn the Stipler. So he, after the Chazon Ish passed away, so they published a collection of letters by the Chazon Ish, because his style in Hebrew is beautiful. He has his own original style of Hebrew. Like Rav Soloveitchik had his own style of Hebrew, so the Chazon Ish had his own style. So they printed his letters. After the brother-in-law passed away, after the Stipler passed away, so they also, noch gemacht the shtick from the Chazon Ish, so they printed a collection of letters. But his Hebrew was very rough. It was a plain, I write better than he did. His Hebrew was not so beautiful like the Chazon Ish. But they have a collection, it's called Kreina D'Igarta. So they have a collection of his letters. And one of the letters, someone asked him, how far you have to go to extend the patient's life of when you're holding by Nila, you're holding by the end. So he writes in the letter, as young children, we were educated, we were taught that the Jewish position is you always extend life. Then we got a little older and we started to learn Gemara, and we learned the Gemara in the Dorim, and there's a long Ran on Daf Mem, and the Ran says not so. The Ran says that sometimes it's a mitzvah to pray that the person should die. Not always a mitzvah to extend his life.
Rabbi Yudanasi,
yeah. They prayed that he should die. The maid of when he was in agony, and they were saying Tilim in the yeshiva, so they sent a message to the Talmidim. They should stop praying on the Ram. Sometimes a mitzvah to pray the person should die. And then you get, and then the Stipler writes, then we got a little older, and we started to learn Shulchan Aruch, and then they have a Shulchan Aruch like that. That sometimes you withhold treatment. It's not always a mitzvah to extend a person's life. You know, holding by the end, you're not always mechuyev to extend the life. Matzilim. If you're matzil nefesh, means you save a person, and then he'll be able to function. But just, ois tzitzin in the neshama, he's holding his mamash in gesisa anyway, so that he should suffer longer. In the days of the Gemara, Gesisa didn't take more than 3 days. If a person is a Geisis, it's Biyadua, that after 72 hours, Shangishtar. Today, it's the Eist Nisham, he can be a Geisis for months and months and months. So some of the Rabbanim say, no, that's the definition of Geisis. He's a Geisis 3 days before he dies. That's a little ridiculous. I mean, a guy's hooked up to machines, he can stay like that for months and months. So 3 days before he dies, called a Geisis.
What is it? The Prime Minister, I forgot his name.
He's still
one and a half years.
Yeah, he's still a geisus, yeah. So the pashtus is, the 3 days, that's the Gemara says, one is in a state of gesisa, and you don't put the machines on, so it's bevado, so he's going to die within 3 days. But so one is in a state of gesisa, there's no mitzvah to extend his life. That says in the poskim. So what if he's not in a state of gesisa? Let's say a person had a stroke, a heart attack, whatever, person is 95 years old and he has so many different sicknesses, and already he got sick again. And my mother used to say for years and years, my mother died 20 years ago, so she used to say for years and years, when it comes to the end, don't do me any taivas, don't do this and don't do that, just let me die in peace. As it turns out, my mother had a heart attack and she fell on the floor in the kitchen and she died on the spot. There was nothing to pilpul about. Just the Hatzalah people made believe that they were trying to save her life, because if someone dies at home, the government insists on making an autopsy. So the Fruma Hatzalah from Borough Park took her to the hospital, and officially she died in the hospital. But Lamai said, they told me she died at home. There was nothing to discuss. So let's say a person knows that he has a lot of sicknesses, and he says, when I come to such a stage, don't do me any type, just let me die in peace. So that's a shada. Do you honor such a request or not? So Ramosha Feinstein has Truvis, and he writes, basically, you do. A person is not a balabus on his life should have the right to take his life. He's not allowed to commit suicide. But a person is a balabus on his life to determine whether you're doing him a toivo, whether you're doing him a favor or a disservice by extending his life. Unless the person is just utterly ridiculous. This says in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos, quotes a tshuva from the Radvaz. Let's say a person is 20 years old and he has gangrene in a toe. And they say they want to cut off the toe. He says, no, I can't live without a toe. I'd rather die than live without a toe. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Radvaz, we do the surgery against his wishes. Because we've done it many times. We've done the surgery many times. We know how to control everything that may possibly happen. And it's absolutely unreasonable to request a 20-year-old healthy person, the only thing who has gangrene and a toe. So what do you mean he'd rather die now than live another 100 years? That's ridiculous. So you don't honor such a request. That's a shtus. Or in the reverse, Ramosha says also like that. Let's say a person is holding by the end and he's suffering something terrible. And if you would take a poll of 1,000 people, 999 out of 1,000 people would say, let me die already. And this guy says, no, he wants to live on. What does he want to live on? For some unknown reason. So Ramosha says, you're not allowed to extend his life. It's an avera. What's the avera to extend his life? If you don't extend his life, I understand what the avera. What's the avera to extend his life? So Moshe says, it's an isur of chayvul b'chaver, because he caused him pain. Like this, he would have died already. He'd be potter from the suffering. Like this, by extending his life, you're extending the pain. He's suffering more. So a person is not permitted to inflict pain upon himself. And if he says, I want you to extend my life in an absolutely unreasonable fashion, so you don't honor such a request. The Gemara has an expression that Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes, Tuna v'hud d'nokitle. He's out of his mind. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So Rav Moshe says if the patient makes an absolutely unreasonable request, either unreasonable to this direction, unreasonable to that direction, he's unreasonable, he says, let me die now, I don't want to live on. Absolutely unreasonable. He's a young, healthy person. There's no reason why we shouldn't amputate his leg or his toe. And he'll lead a normal life afterwards. Unreasonable in the other way. He wants to live on. And 999 out of 1,000 people would say, let me die already. That's ridiculous. So you don't honor such a request. But if there's a significant proportion of the population who would say, let me die, I'd rather die. So then Rav Moshe says, based on the Gemara, that's up to the patient to determine.
Why did Chanina ben Torah take the position when he said, I'm not allowed to open the Talmid Maaseh to open up your mouth let the fire come in you and die? He says, I can't take my life any earlier. Clearly he was on this was pain. Why did he take such a position?
No, that he felt that's suicide. Not allowed to commit suicide.
Death clearly was imminent. I mean, this is news.
That's a shayla. Maybe it should be permissive. That's another din. There's a pasuk in Chumash Parshas Noach that says, Achaz dimcha l'nafshei seichem edrash, one is not permitted to commit suicide. So what if you want to commit suicide because you're suffering so much pain? Maybe then it should be mutter. So the midrashim say on that pasuk, ach is usually a miut. So since it says, Achaz dimcha l'nafshei seichem edrash, means that sometimes it is mutter. So the Medrash says, the Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash Tanchuma, they all say the same thing. Yochel, Kishol, Shaul HaMelech was in battle, and he was afraid that the Plishtim were going to torture him to death. So he killed himself on his own sword. He committed suicide. So the Medrash says it was mutter, because he committed suicide, not that of a hashkafe, that life is not worth living. The Achraim talk about the Hamaber Atzman Ladas Keder HaPhilosophim, that the existentialists decide that life is not worth living, I'm going to commit suicide, because nothing in the world makes any sense at all. So that's an Avera to commit suicide. But if a person commits suicide in order to save himself from extreme pain and suffering later, so the Midrashim say that it's Mutter.
Masada.
Yeah. So the... Well, Masada, no. Masada, they didn't want to surrender to the enemy. I don't think they were afraid that they would be tortured. They felt you're not allowed to surrender.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to surrender. So that the tour guide usually says that they did Shaloka did, that the rabbis would have said they should surrender. That was when Yerushalayim was under siege at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the chief rabbi was Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakkai. So he wanted to go to Vespasian. Aspasianus was the general. The Gemara says in Hanazaka, wanted to go surrender in the name of the Jewish people. We give up, surrender, destroy the Beis HaMikdash, don't kill us. And they probably would not have killed so many people. And the Bir Yoinim didn't let, because his nephew was the head of the gangsters, the Jewish gangsters. They held a sheet, you're not allowed to surrender. It's a Yehorek Bal Yavar. You're not allowed to surrender, even though you know you're losing the war. And the Rabbanim held no. If you already lost the war, so there's no mitzvah to fight a losing war, so you surrender, and maybe they won't kill all of the people. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. So that's a shot that we paskin like that. Is it permissible to commit suicide if the motivation is in order to save yourself pain and suffering and agony? So the Midrashim say it's mutter. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the commentary on the tour that's called the Beis Yosef on the side of the tour. So in the second edition of the Beis Yosef, he has Hoysophus. Berakabayis. So usually the whole Beis Yosef is in Rashi Yosias. Usually Berakabayis is in bold printed letters. So in the Hoysophus, on that simon, in the Berakabayis, he quotes this medrash that we paskin like that. So that's a big machlekes in the later poskim. Should we really accept that psak of the Beis Yosef, that we accept that medrash or not? During the war years, there were many people. There was a big shaila. Are you permitted to commit suicide because they knew that Nazis were going to torture them to death? So many people wanted to commit suicide in order to spare themselves from the pain and the agony. So some paskin like the Beis Yosef that it is mutter, and others said no. So that's your shaila. Rabbi Hanani ben Tradyain wanted to, the Talmidim said, hasten your death, in other words, commit suicide now in order to spare yourself the extra pain and the suffering from burning so long. If you open your mouth, so you'll die faster. So he held, obviously, that you're not allowed to. So that's a shaila, whether we paskin like that Gemara or not. So maybe we should paskin like the Medrash that the Beis Yosef quoted. Maybe we should paskin like the Gemara. That's a shaila. That's committing suicide in order to save yourself from pain. But we're not talking about suicide. We're talking about a patient is clearly in the middle of dying. And the shaila is, are you mechuyev to extend his life? So if the patient says, you're not doing me any tavis, and we can, if you take a poll of people, a significant percentage of the population would choose like that. Many people today, they'd rather die than suffer later on. They don't need, they already led a full life. They don't want to suffer later on. So that's what Moshe says. If it's one extreme or the other, it's absolutely unreasonable that he wants to die, unreasonable that he wants to live on, so you don't listen to such instructions. But if it is a reasonable request that a significant percentage of the population would choose that option, so there Rav Moshe says, the Chayla has the right to determine whether you're doing him a Toiva or not.
Why does the unreasonable want to extend a life fit with the concept of the more you suffer in this world, the better off you are?
Sure.
So that's what some Rabbanim recommend, that one should always choose to extend his life because it's always reasonable. That's always reasonable to suffer a little more. But Moshe says sometimes it's not reasonable to suffer extreme pain.
So now you can ask a doctor to if you feel you to reach that madrega, to ask, we're calling on euthanasia, right?
Euthanasia we don't permit. That the doctor should do mercy killing, the kumbi assay, that we don't permit. How do we know that we don't permit it? So the Aksaba Kabbalah is a commentary on Chumash by a Rav from Germany who was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivega. Kivega was also in Germany. So he writes, he thinks it's based on the Pasuk. We assume like that from the Gemara. He says, based on the Pasuk in Parshas Noach, that it says that one who kills someone else, Miyad Ish Ochiv, Ed Rishenu. Usually Ish Ochiv means my brother whom I love. So here the Pasuk talks about a person killing his brother. Who's going to kill a brother? So that's what he says, no, mercy killing. You're killing him out of Rachmim, out of Chemlo. So we assume that mercy killing is not permissible. So that's mercy killing mikumbi asay. We don't permit euthanasia. But it's not always, the Pasuk says, and yesterday said, you're not allowed to stand by. If someone is dying, you have to extend his life. That's only if you're doing a toiva. That's like Ashavas Aved, if you're mututa toiva. If you're not doing a toiva by extending his life, is nisha. Normally we assume you're doing a toiva. But if the person tells us in advance, do me a favor, let me die in peace, and it's a reasonable request, so then you're not doing him a taiva. So you're not not only you're not mechuyev to, then it's not permissible to extend his life. He doesn't want it, you're not doing him a teva. The person is not a balabas to take his life, but he is a balabas to determine whether he's doing him a teva by extending his life. It's up to the person has the right to decide that. That's the haftorah of Parshas Metzora. How does it say? The abo mitzorayim hayu oshim pesach shar shomron. The four mitzorayim were outside of the city, and then they ran out of food. And inside the city, there was no food either. They were outside because a mitzvah is not permitted to enter.
They were better off to go out to the...
So they decided they'll surrender to the enemy. If maybe they'll take us prisoners of war, and they'll give us food. And if they'll shoot us, Ben Kovacov are going to die. We don't have so long to live anyway. So they figured they'll gamble, they'll risk it. And then they went into the Machne Aram, and it turned out that the whole army disappeared empty, so they're eating and drinking, and then there was a whole Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara...
They're slightly different because they can live for a little while longer staying outside the city. But if they go to the enemy, they would be killed immediately. So the question is, are you allowed to gamble?
Hancha Yeshua...
Even though you... Otherwise you would have lived for a little bit after.
Right. So the Gemara says, that's the Shaila. You're permitted to gamble, to risk your Chai Yeshua... You have a couple of days left. Chayisho chayyolam, the Rav Moshe writes that the klal is, the Chay Moshe writes like that, Chayisho means less than 12 months, chayyolam means more than 12 months. So they knew they were going to die, but derech hateva, they're going to die within 12 months. And if they'll surrender to the enemy, maybe they'll take them prisoners of war and they'll give them food. So they may kill them right away. So they were prepared to gamble, to risk the Chayisho for the possibility of extending the life chayyolam, of possibly living more than 12 months. So the Gemara learns out from them that that's the halacha, that you're permitted to risk it. So the Velt and the Yeshivas, the Velt Vektakasha, who are these four Mitzorayim? They were the big Rabbanim of the generation that we paskin like them. The Medrash says that was Gehazi and his three sons. That when the Sartzvah, Gehazi, and his three sons, Elisha Shamas. Naaman was Sartzva Melech Aram, and he had Saras, and the Jewish girl said he should go to the Navi in Eretz Yisrael, and they'll cure him. So he came to Elisha Navi, and he cured him. So he was so makatayva, he went to all the doctors in the world, nobody could do it, and Elisha Navi, with Enes, he cured him. So he was so makatayva, he wanted to be Mahan Elisha Navi, he wanted to give him Matanas. Elisha said, I have a parnasa, thank you very much, I don't need it. So then Gehazi ran after him, the Pasuk says, and he said, my boss changed his mind, and I'll take all the money, I'll give it to the boss. He took all the money, and he pocketed it for himself. So when Elisha Navi found out about it, so he cursed him, and he said, the tzaras that Naaman was cured from, tidbak b'chod b'zarecha, you and your three sons should suffer from tzaras. So the Medrash says that Abba Mitzarayim were Gehazi and his three children. So they were such tzaddikim. They were punished for the chilul Hashem that they made. So what are we learning out halachas from them? So in the yeshivas, they say, now we're learning out the halachas. The Chazal knew the halacha without that. To determine, a person is not a balabos to take his life. But a person is a balabos to determine what's called the suffix sakana. Whenever it's a suffix sakana, which direction to go. The only question is, common sense, does this gamble make sense? So the Gemara quotes, here's a story that's recorded in Tanakh, that they took this gamble. They were not tzaddikim. They were not tzaddikim at all. But the Tanakh records they took such a gamble. Logic. You see that such a logic makes sense to risk chayisho because of the possibility of gaining chayyolam. So from there we learn out, we're not learning out the halacha from them. The halacha we knew on our own. The question is, in common sense, does this gamble make sense? And Gemara says, yeah, look in Tanakh, it's recorded, and it worked out well for them. So that's a logical, that's a sechodika decision. So that's the halacha. Let's say a patient has some sickness, and the doctors think he's going to die within a couple of months. He can't live for a year. And he can undergo a risky surgery. He may die in the surgery, and it may extend his life for more than a year. So that's based on that parsha. That's how we paskin. Common sense paskins that's good. And the parsha tells you that this is a seichel dikah thing. So you learn out from that parsha that although a person is not a balabas to take his life, to commit suicide, but he is a balabas to determine what's in his best interest. He can have two people in the exact same situation. in the hospital, and one says, I want the risky surgery, and the other one says, I don't want the risky surgery. One of them is the greatest Pesach Ador, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the other one is a plain Balabos. Balabos is not mukhif to listen to Rav Moshe Feinstein over here. This is each person decides on his own whether he wants this risk or he don't want the risk. It's not a shaila that the Pesach has to decide. It's the Chayla has to decide.
What about Rosh Chayilim? You said, you know, the doctors can do so much, but the rest we have to leave.
Oh, that's always the case. Even when the doctors are doing, we always have to be misbound that it should work. Zeichar azay. The what? There are different kinds of comas. Sometimes the doctors think that the person...
Yeah. So you
extend it indefinitely? Doesn't make sense. Does not make sense to extend it. What did the patient say in advance? He never said anything.
My father, Shlomo, was in a coma for almost a year.
And then he came out of it?
No. Oh. And I asked Rabbi Grubla. He said, you got to keep going. It was a slow pattern.
Because there was a possibility that he could come out of it.
No problem. I mean, they were feeding him through the tube and everything. Uh-huh. He said, as long as they keep him alive, even though there's no chance.
But you can't remove any kind of...
No, but let's say the intravenous runs out. Are you not mechuyev to replace it? Whatever it is that runs out, are you mechuyev to replace it? So if it's unreasonable to extend the person's life, if the person is suffering, then it's not unreasonable. Why should he suffer? But he was not suffering. They were probably giving him painkillers. So it wasn't suffering. So it wasn't unreasonable.
But sure, they want to say something else. In concentration camp, there was no Zerofin. There wasn't a doctor there. They want us to die. Not a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
As I ever say, that only the Rabbi Shimon also survived is the only Rabbi Shimon healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not no other way. The doctors, no doctors.
Yep. Everything in the concentration camp was with Lamaila Menateva. Yeah. Yeah, this is one of the important Gemaras. Kol HaShanisha Asruha Chaim B'Yapo. Okay. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Hayam at base. So the Mishnah says, the first Mishnah says in the Perek that the Medida to measure to the cities which are closest to the Cholo, the Medida has to be done by the three or five members of the Bez Nagadol who come specially. One time it said that you need all the 71 members of the Bez Nagadol. We don't hold like that. So it's either three or five. So now the Mishnah continues. They did the Medida and they established which is the closest city. So the members of the Bez Nagadol can go back to Yerushalayim. Their job is finished. They don't have to remain there for supervising and overseeing the mitzvah of Egla Ruf. The local Rabbanim can take care of that. So that's what the Mishnah says. Niftar is Ziknei Yerushalayim Aholcholayim. They did the Medida. Their job is finished. They can go back home. Now the Pasuk says Ziknei Oysahuir. The members of the Beznav, that city, that's why we said that's a machlekes Rishonim, whether Beznav 3 or Beznav 23, the Beznav, that city, Ziknei Osahir, it doesn't mean the elders, the older Balabatim. Ziknei means a Bezni, the Beznav 3 or Beznav 23. Ziknei Osahir have to be Mevim, Eglas Basar, Eglas Bokar, they have to bring a calf. And the Pasuk says, Ashalom Moshcha Ba'oil, that you never put a yoke on it that it should pull anything. Let's say you put a yoke on and then you change your mind and I have a regular agola, egla, not a agola, is a wagon, egla is a kip. I have a regular egla and I plan to use it to pull something and I put on a yoke, then I take it off, I didn't do anything. So then it doesn't become puzzle. The puzzle comes and says, Ashaloi Moshcha Ba'oil, if it pulled, how far does it have to pull? 10 miles, 1 mile, 5 miles, the Gemara is going to say a tefach. An astonishing shiur. How far does it have to pull is going to be a discussion in the Gemara. But if you just put on the yoke and you took it off, and the behemah and the egla never pulled anything, so it does not become pasul, that's the lashon ha-pasuk. Ashaloi mashcha ba'ol. What about mum? Mum is a psul in karbonis. That's Parshas HaShavua. This is nishkin karbon b'chla. Egla rufa is nishkin karbon. There's a din if a karbon gets a mum, so then you can be poida, and it's yotze l'chul, and then you can shecht at chutz l'beis amigdash. Normally there's an issu shchut chutz. It's an Issa Kari, so you're not allowed to shech karbonis outside of the Azar.
But who is the Zekainim? Who are the Zekainim?
The Zekainim means the Bezdin, either Beznav 3 or Beznav 23. That's a Machlokes.
Okay, Zeknei Uyer and Zeknei Yerushalayim.
Zikni Yerushalayim are the members of the Bez Nagadol who came specially to do the Medida. So once they did the Medida and they established which city is Mechuyev, so they go back home to Yerushalayim. And Zikni Hoir means those Rabbonim who have Smicha, who are either the 3 members of the local Bezna, or the 23 members of the local Sanhedrin. So the mitzvah is on them that they have to do the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. And then the Mishnah says, Egla Rufa is not a korban that a mum should passel. There's a Tosefta, the Mishnah Melech quotes this Tosefta, that Egla Rufa is also Bahano. How do you know the Gemara has like that? The Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kedushin says, if you mekadosh an isha b'kesef, she's mekudeshes. What if you mekadosh b'shovi kesef? You give a ring. The shovi kesef is also mekudeshes. You can give a lollipop, you can give a salami sandwich, you can give whatever you want. You can give a tray for a salami sandwich. You can sell it to a goy, as long as muta b'ano. And it's a shovi pruto, so she's mekudeshes. What if you mekadosh b'basim b'chol, b'orlo, b'kloya kerem, b'chomitz b'pesach, mekadosh b'suri? No, it's not called shovi pruto. So the Mishnah Rechon Zois, a whole list. If you want to know which things are Asabano, look in Kiddushin, the end of the second parak, of all places. The Mishnah gives you a complete list of all the things that are Asabano. So it says there that Egla Rufa is Asabano. If you do the Arifa, Egla Rufa is Asabano. How do you know? So the Gemara says, because the Kohanim have to recite when you bring the Egla Rufa, the Kohanim from the city have to offer a tefillah, Kapale Amcha Yisrael Shepadiso Hashem. So kaparik sibba kikochim, just like by korbanes, amechaper, and the rosa bahano, so to egla rufa, state kapal amcha Yisrael, kaparik sibba kikochim. So that's how you know that egla rufa is also bahano. So the Mishnah Melech and Hilchos Retzeach, when the Rambam quotes all the dinim of egla rufa, the Mishnah Melech writes that if you have an egla rufa that's also bahano, if you paid it, so then it becomes muta bahano. Hazoi state in Tosefta. No, it's not a shchuta. It'll be also bachila, but it'll be mutabano. So the Chazon Ish says it must be a misprint in the Tosefta. That absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. And if you have basa b'cholam and klaya kerem and orlo, and chomis b'pesach and yepoide, it becomes mutabano. Pidyon only works on hegdish. He says egla ruf has nothing at all to do with hegdish. Absolutely nothing in common with a carbon. It's an ishken carbon. Egla ruf is not a carbon. So he says he doesn't understand this Tosefta. He thinks it's a misprint. Mishnah Melech quotes a Tosefta. Chazon Ish says it makes no sense whatsoever. So the Mishnah says, Ein ha-mum poisel bo. There's no din of mum by Egla Rufa. It's not a korban. Gemara is going to construct a kal v'chaymer. Maybe it should be a bal mum should passel it a kal v'chaymer. Gemara says, no. The kal v'chaymer is not always gehalten, and mum does not passel. So it says, Marida Moshe l'nachal eson. You have to take it down. Apparently, Nachal Eisan is a lower location. Nachal Eisan, and then the Mishnah says, what does the word Eisan mean? Eisan kemashmoy, kosher. The word Eisan means tough. What do you mean kosher, tough? So it's a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Nachal Eisan means a river. Nachal is a river. And Eisan means that it flows with force. The water is not just flowing smoothly, it's violent. The water is flowing violently. And then the Mishnah says, Hafal Pishena Eisan. It's also kosher. If it's a river, and it's not flowing with such a force, but yeah, but it's also kosher. But the mitzvah min amufcha, mitzvah l'chatchila, that it should be a nachal eisan. And Rashi learns that the word nachal means a valley. It doesn't mean a river. The Mishnah is going to talk about, the Pasuk in the Chumash talks about planting in the nachal eisan. If it's a river, how can you plant in the bottom of the river? The water is going to wash everything away. So Rashi understands the word nachal doesn't mean a river, it means a valley. So what does it mean, nachal eisan? Karka kosher, it's very hard. It's hard to plant anything there. Nothing is going to grow there. It's a tough karka. So it's a major machlekes in the din deraisa. How do you translate the word in the Chumash? Nachal Eisan means a river, it means a valley. What does it mean, kosher? And then it says, you don't shecht it, you have a mitzvah to kill it, but or for Moshe bekupitz miachoreho. You have to kill it by taking a sledgehammer, whatever, and killing it from behind. Shechita you have to do from the front. In the Chira, the Arifa, Segla Arifa, you do Me'achoreho. Then the Pasuk says, Umekoma, that location where you did the Arifa, Segla Arifa, Umekoma, Osa Milizraya Umilavod. You're not allowed to plant there, you're not allowed to plow there, you're not permitted to do any Avodas Akarka over there. However, Muta Lisrak Shom Pishton, what if you want to sit and play checkers? Want to sit and play cards there? You want to sit in sunbathing? So that's not an avodas hakarka. You're using the ground. You need somewhere to sit. You're using the ground, but you're not doing avoda with the karka. So the Mishnah says that that's permissible. Mutar lisrok sham pishtan, to comb out the flax, to clean it out from the dirt. Ula naker sham avonim. Let's say you have stones that you carved out from a quarry, from the mountains, and you want to carve them or you want to clean them, whatever. Any other malacha you want to do there is okay. You just can't do avodas hakarka. And then the pasuk continues to say that the ziknei ha'ir, the rabbonim, either from the bezin of the three or the sanhedrin of the 23, whatever bezin you need, the ziknei also ha'ir, it says v'rochtzi yedehem al ho'egloh arufa banachal. They should wash their hands. They wash until it's yadayim. Ziknei also ha'ir v'rochtzi yedehem b'mayim b'mokam arifa shel egloh. And then they recite the pasuk. Yadenu, that's why it's why is that perik egla roof over here? Because the opening, we started from daf lamed, I think. It says starts off elan amorim. There are a list of mitzvahs that have to be performed by speaking. You recite kriya shma yidavin. You say kiddush and abdol. You say mikra bikurim arami yovedovi. And you say bidimais. All the different mitzvahs that you do like they are mira duchenim. So some of them have to be done dafke b'loshna kodesh, and some can be done in translation. So the Mishnah listed off, Egla Ruf has to be dafke b'loshna kodesh. They have to recite this pasuk. So derech agav, so the Mishnah gives you all the dinim of Egla Ruf. So then it says, the ziknei ha'ir have to recite this pasuk in the original Hebrew. If they'll say in translation, they won't be yotze. What's the pasuk? After they wash their hands, they say, Yodena lo shavchu es adam hazeve, neina lo ro'u. We are not responsible for the death. We didn't kill him. And we didn't see anybody kill him. So you should forgive us. You should forgive the whole community. We're not responsible for the death. So the Mishnah has a comment on the Pasuk, V'chi al da'atenu. Also, did anybody have a havamina? That they should say such a statement to Rabban Shalom, we are not responsible for his death. It doesn't make sense. No one's choshed the Rabbanim. There must have been some shikir aganav who killed him, and he robbed him, he stole his money. What has got to do with the Rabbanim? Ella, what it means is, we didn't meet him, he didn't come in to us and ask us for an adove, and we didn't throw him out without giving him an adove. No. If they didn't give him any sandwich, and if they didn't give him any money, then they can't bring the Egla Rufa. They have to bring Egla Rufa and have to say, honestly, Yodena lo shavcho es adam hazeh. And then, v'loi re'inuhu, what does it mean, v'loi re'inuhu, hinachnu? Not that we saw him traveling all by himself on the highway and we let him go. No, if they saw the poor guy traveling on his own and no one was going with him and it's dangerous to go on the highway, so then they can't bring Egla Rufa. The whole mitzvah doesn't apply. It's only if they can say honestly, we didn't let him travel on his own. Below Levia, the Gemara is going to explain it better. The words that are in parentheses, below Mazen and below Levia, that's what it means. They put it in parentheses because it would appear, because the Talmud Yerushalmi doesn't have it in the Mishnah, it would appear that that's what the Brice and the Gemara is adding on to the Mishnah. But that's what it means. The words are not in error, just that they don't think the words belong in the Mishnah. This was the interpretation that the Brice is going to add on to the Mishnah. Then the Pasuk says in Chumash, the Zikainim from Bez Nagodol, the three or five Rabbanim from Bez Nagodol have to come do the Medida. They do the Medida, they go back home. Then the Ziknei Ho'ir have to, and then you bring the Kohanim from the city and the Ziknei Ho'ir. The Ziknei Ho'ir, they wash their hands on the Egla Rufa, and they recite this. Then it says, Kapal Amcha Yisrael Shepadisa Hashem. We ask our Tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should forgive us. Who says Kapal Amcha Yisrael? So the Pasha B'Shat and the Pasha gives the Ziknei Ho'ir say all of this. But then it says you should have the Kohanim from the city come, and it doesn't say what they're supposed to do. What do? They duchen in the middle. What are they supposed to do over here? So the Tanaim had a tradition. The next pasuk, the Kohanim say, "Kap le'am chesol shepadis Hashem." Just like karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash, aboim lachaper. So the Kohanim are makir of the karbonis. So this bakosha, this tefillah, kap le'am chesol, the Kohanim say. Otherwise, you don't understand Rashi. You don't understand why does the pasuk say you get Kohanim and they just stand there and they watch and they don't participate, even though it's not a carbon. But they should be in charge of the kapara.
And the assumption is the body isn't there because they'd be subject to tumah.
Buried already, yeah. He's buried already.
Is the rechitza nikul?
It sounds like that's part of the mitzvah, an essential part of the mitzvah. If they don't wash their hands, they're not yotzei the mitzvah. It just says the karka kosha is not me'akev. If it's a nachal, that's not eson, it's not me'akev. So that's the Mishnah. The next pasuk the Kohanim say. Then it says, Kaplarachon Shepadisa Hashem. Then it says, Vinikapelahem Hadam. And they will be forgiven for this act of murder. So that's what the Kohanim say also. So the Mishnah says no. They say and then the Pasuk promises adam. But that's not part of the mitzvah that they should recite that. That's not part of what they say. And the Pasuk promises that that's what will happen. If you'll perform this mitzvah of Egla Rufa, Adam is kapalahem, then you'll be forgiven for your responsibility. You didn't do anything wrong. What can you do? Lo reinu b'loi, lo patanu b'loi nozen, lo hinachnu b'loi levia. They did whatever they could.
Who pays for the ego?
The community has to pay. That's what the Tana who disagrees, last week we learned the machlokes hatanaim. If it's nimtza mechuvim min shtei ayores, if the dead body is exactly equidistant from two different cities. So our Mishnah says, shtei mevias, shtei eglos, the Reb Lezer. And there are Tanoim who disagree. They say only one of the two cities has to bring, but it's a suffix, which one? Because it's exactly equidistant to the both cities. And we say, we say we don't know which city is closer. One city is going to be a millimeter closer. We can't tell which is closer. So they both pay for the expense of the Egla Rufa. And then the Tosefta says they bring it ala Tanai. And they say, if it's really closer to this city, so we give them our share in the bailus of the Egla Rufa, because the whole they both paid 50-50, so the whole Egla Rufa should belong to that city. And if our city is closer, so they're makna to us, their half, so the whole Egla Rufa belongs to us.
Why don't we follow road in that case?
I mean, if one city should be larger than the other. The Gemara says you do follow Roiv, but I mean this city has 5,000 population, this city has 5,000 of five people, because of five more people. I don't know if that's a good Roiv. It has to be a significant Roiv. There are different kinds of Roiv. There's a Roiv of 90%, 99% certainty, and then you have 89%, 79%, then you have 51%, then you have 50.001%. You just made it by the skin of your teeth. Strictly speaking, that's a Roiv, but that's not Mevar or anything. Roiv v'korv hoch machar aroiv. If you have roiv indicates one way and korv indicates the other way, so the roiv wins. That's if it's a roiv bari, a roiv that means something. That this has a 5,000 population, this has a 100 population. So the meretzeh probably came from the city with 5,000 as opposed to 100. But if this says 5,000, this has 5,000 of five. So that roiv is not going to beat out the korv. So then you follow korv. Then you follow korv.
I had a kasha about not a kasha but a shailu. How is the Efshar at Samson? If you're talking about a person and you say, be so precise about that we cannot do it. But if something happened and we are going to measure it out and turned out to be in two different places, this has nothing to do with Simpson.
No, Simpson means we're measuring.
Yeah, Efshar at Samson. In other words, you say
when
that
we
the,
measure,
yeah,
do we assume that our measurements are precise?
Not that the victim was the tzamtzim. You are talking
about...
on
our measurements.
Okay.
When we do the measurement,
so
the halacha says we should measure, so we did to the best of our ability, so it's mechuvan mishtei ayores.
So
we say, no, since we know that it's going to be a millimeter off, either here or there, so it's considered a safek.
Yeah.
It's the machlokes hatanoim. Yeah.
And what it says here, Ruach HaKodesh?
Ruach HaKodesh means the Chumash is promising us when the Pasuk says, when the Kapalahem Adam, that's a footnote in the Chumash. The Kohanim finish reciting, Kapalahem Chasosha Padis Hashem, Atitim Dam Nakim Bekev Amcha Yisrael. That's the end of what they say. Then, when the Kapalahem Adam, the Chumash promises that we'll get a Kapara. The Gemara has in Krisis, Kapalahem Chasosha Padis Hashem, give a kapara to the Yiddish folk, who's Asher Padis Hashem, whom you took out of Mitzrayim. What has it got to do with the Yitzias Mitzrayim? Asher Padisa, the Rabban Shalom was Paidas from Mitzrayim, Gyatan Peis Havarim Pedisonu. The Rabban Shalom was Paidas from Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, yeah, when you bring an Egla Rufa, Ruya Kaparazu Shetachapra al Yaitse Mitzrayim. What kind of a funny lotion is that? So the Gemara means to say that when Klal Yisrael, when you're talking about Klal Yisrael, it doesn't only refer to the people who are alive in this generation. When you bring an Egla Rufa, who has to pay for the Egla Rufa? Anshe Kroiva, Anshe Hira Kroiva. whichever city is closer. But who gets the kapara? All of Klal Yisrael gets the kapara. And the kapara is even chal on the dead people. Usually we have a klal en kapara lameisim. Kapara is only on living people. So the Achrayim point that that's only if it's a kapara sayochid. Let's say I was mafresh a korban, a chatos or an osham, and then I die. So the din is you can't be makav the korban for a dead person. Because the korban is bol achaper, and there's no kapara for a mace. Or Tosis points out, let's say I have a shor amuad, the shor amuad kills an adam, and I have to pay kofer. So the Gemara says kofer kapara, paying kofer acquires an atonement for the person, he gets a kapara. So let's say I die and I leave a lot of Yerusha, I leave a lot of assets. So Tosis says you can't collect from the Yerushim because ain't kapara la mesim. Why should they pay the kofer? If kaif is only for the purpose of acquiring an atonement, the kapara, I'm not going to get that kapara anyway. So that's only by medva mamurim, by kaif or by chatos or by yosham, where it's a kapara sayochid, it's mechapa on that person. But the egla rufa is mechapa on the whole klal Yisrael. Mechapa on the whole klal Yisrael, that includes even the dead people. If in the days of Yitzias Mitzrayim, till today, everybody's included in klal Yisrael, the kapara is chala on everybody. The people, who has to pay for the korban, anshei ho'ir akreva? But the kapara is not only for the Anshei Yir HaKrov, the kapara is for all of Klal Yisrael, including the up until, all the way up until Yotze Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael begins from the Yotze Mitzrayim.
Tzibur in a mace.
Right? Because the Tzibur, as long as part of the Tzibur is alive, so even the part that's dead is not considered the Tzibur, still alive. Ein HaTzibur Mason, right? It says in the Ramo and Hilchas Yom HaKippur, quotes a Mahariv, quotes Marivail, that in America they call it Yom Kippur. But in the Chumash, it's called Yom HaKippurim, in the plural. Why is Yom HaKippurim in the plural? So Ramo says it's a kapara lachaim, kapara lameisim. That Yom HaKippurim is a kaparas haktzibur, kaparas haklal. So it's mechaper even on the meisim. So since Yom Kippur is mechaper on the meisim, so that's why the minig is that we donate tzedoke, lezecha, nishmas, the niftorim, and we offer tefillah yisker that the niftorim it should be farechend as a schus, because they stand an opportunity of getting kapara from Yom HaKippurim also. Or the Mishnah has, let's say, a person kills b'shoigeg, so he has to go to the Ori Miklot. When the Kohen Gadol dies, then he has his kapara, so he can go home. What if the Kohen Gadol doesn't die? He goes to the Ori Miklot, and the Kohen Gadol outlives him. So he never got his kapara yet. So you're not allowed to, when he dies, you're not allowed to bury him in the family cemetery. You have to bury him in the Beis HaKvaros and the Ori Miklot. Then a year or two later when the Kohen Gadol dies, and then we learn the Mishnayos Makkos, then you can take the body, if they want to, you can take the body out, and then you can bury him in Kibbutz Avosim. So they ask the Kasha, why? The Mises Kohen Gadol is Mechaper on a dead person. What happened to the Klal Ein Kapor LaMeisim? So that's what the Marsham writes in his Sefer on Choshen Mishpot. He says, no, since Mises Kohen Gadol is not a Kapor HaYochid, it's a Kapor for all of the Horgim Bishgogo. So it's even chal al mesim. Agav, the people who are alive, who get a kapara, if there are living rotzchim, who get a kapara with the Mises Kohen Gadol, that even those rotzchim who are dead and buried already also get a kapara. A locha that you're not allowed to bury a rosha next to a tzaddik is only called money didn't get his kapara. Let's say that you buried the rosha, let's say Chevek Kaddish is here in America, in New York. They have...
Near the fence.
Yeah, so you're burying something. You don't bury him next to the religious Jews. But let's say he's buried already for a whole year. So then the Mishnah says once he gets already Chibut HaKever, Nikol HaBosar, then he already does get a kapur. So let's say a year later, the family wants to move him to the family plot. The family wanted to bury him next to the rest of the family, but the Chevek Kaddisha didn't let because he's not a Shem Shabbos. He wasn't religious. But then a year goes by, and before they put the Matzeva, they want to move him to the rest of the family, want to put him Matzeva with everybody else. So strictly speaking, says in the Mishnah that that's okay. Mishnah says, even a guy who was killed with Mises Bezdin because he was an Oyver Avodah Zarah, and he gave Mises Bezdin to bury him in the Beis HaKvaros of the Sanhedrin for the Haruge Bezdin, but after he's dead and buried for a couple of months, then he gets his kapar, then you can exhume the body and move him to the family plot. The Marsham thinks that not. He writes, Kapara la Mesim is only Agav the Kapara la Chaim. Kapara is... Huh? It sounds, from his Chibra on the Chayish Mishpah, it sounds like then there wouldn't be Kapara la Mesim. If it's a big kapara, agav the chayim, so the mason also get a kapara.
The kapara takes effect after months of being buried, but not at the time of misa.
There are some people who did avera, so the misa is mechaper. And harugi bezdin, the gemara says misa is not enough. They have to suffer chibut hakever. So that's the question. Chibut hakever means he's in the grave for 10 minutes, or he's in the grave for a couple of days. It's unclear. But if he's there ready for a whole year, and the whole thing by putting up a matzevah, so after a year for sure, you've already got his kapara. So then you can bury the body back in the regular cemetery.
I believe some melech was schlepping the atzumos from the melech, I want the meluchim, was schlepping the atzumos from the father. Of his father,
yeah.
To bring them to Kever Uvish.
No, he's schlepping them to be mevaza the father. Because Gior Melech was Mevaza his father. His father was an Ovid Abba Dezora. One could be Mevaza his father, he should get a kapara. To be Mevaza, he should get a kapara. Yeah.
So nowadays, Misa should be a kapara immediately, since there's no
Misa's Pesach. So I'm clear in the Gemara. The Gemara says maybe you need Misa with Chibat Takever. It depends how many Averis he did. But after he has the Chibat Takever, Nikola Basar, then for sure he already has a kapara. Well, we break his arm if he says he wants to marry him. We're going to beat him up if he says, we tell him, you better say you don't want to marry her. We don't permit people to do Yibum as manazah. The Gemara says there's a...
Maybe we should
leave out the psukim.
Nobody should do chalitza either because they can't honestly, in those cases, first.
No, under the circumstances that the rabbis don't permit him to, so he says, lechavati lekachto. I don't want to marry her because the rabbis don't want me to. The rabbis recommend he shouldn't marry her.
Maybe she spits first, then he's really not going to want to marry her.
No. The spitting is only at the end, yeah. Okay. So here the Gemara is going to ask a fascinating kasha. There's a din of a kal v'chomer. If one... Kal v'chomer can work in one of two directions. If you have two dinim, kal v'chomer middin echad l'chaveru. Two different dinim. So if one din is more chomer than the other, how do you establish one is more chomer than the other? Either mitzar asvar, it's more chomer, or because there's a detail of halacha, some detail of a detail of halacha that shows that A is more chomer than B, either one or the other. So then once you establish that A is more chomer than B, so all the dinim in the Torah have to fit into a pattern. So if B has a chomer, then A certainly has to have that chomer. Or if A has a kula, and A is more chomer than B, so B certainly has to have the kula. That's how you dan a kal v'chomer. So when you, kal v'chomer is one of the midrash ha'tar and the drash ha'smem. Yud gimel midrash ha'tar, kal v'chomer, bin yirab, and so on. When you have a kal v'chomer, so there are two ways to demolish a kal v'chomer. The Gemara has on this daf two ways. One is a pircha, and one is a yochiach. A pircha means, you're telling me that A is more chomer than B. How did you establish that? Because there's one detail halacha that A has that B doesn't have, but that happens to be another detail halacha that B has that A doesn't have. So that's a pircha. Vezok that A is more chomer than B. Maybe B is more chomer than A. That's called me ikra de dina pircha. Dina means kal v'chomer. Ein anshim en adin. Ein anshim en adin. That's a pircha, yeah. Ein anshim en adin means you can't give an oinish misa based on a kal v'chomer. Adin means a kal v'chomer. So the Gemara calls a pircha me ikra de dina pircha. The whole basis of the kal v'chomer. Me ikra de dina. The whole foundation of the kal v'chomer is pricha. Pricha means it's crumbling. Why the whole kal v'chomer is based on the premise that A is more chomer than B because of some detail halacha. But B has a chomer that A doesn't have. So who maybe B is more chomer. Then there's another way to demolish a kal v'chomer. A is more chomer than B, and there's no way to get around it. But if this kal v'chomer is correct, then you should make such a similar kal v'chomer in another case. And I know that you'll reach a wrong conclusion over there. I know the din is not correct over there. So that's called the yochiach. I can prove from the other case that this style kal v'chomer is not acceptable. Because if this style kal v'chomer is good, it should apply there, and it'll lead you to a conclusion that we know is not correct, so therefore over here we're not so convinced that the kal v'chomer is correct. So that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. We're going to be shooting kal v'chomers all over the place here. So they're going to demolish a kal v'chomer sometimes by a pircha. A pircha is really demolishing. Mikra, the dina pircha. The whole kal v'chomer crumbles that I'm not so convinced that A is Muhammad and B, maybe B is Muhammad and A. And a yochiach is another way of demolishing, but not as strong as a pircha. Yochiach means that this style of logic, I can prove that it's not ois gehalten. So that's how the Gemara begins. Why shouldn't I say that there's a kalvachaymer? That what? That the Mishnah says if it has a mum, it doesn't passel, because the egla rufa is nishkin carbon. So the Gemara says, but why don't I establish based on a kalvachaymer that a mum should passel egla rufa? What's the kalvachaymer? Uma paraduma shein ashan in postlos bo. A paraduma has to have a minimum age. Before a certain age, it's not called a para. But after it reaches that age, ad mevi asim shana. As old as it is, there's no maximum age. Has to be bash nasa before the first birthday. If it's after the first birthday, so it's already posel. So the Gemara says, you see that there's a chumra that egla rufa has that poraduma doesn't have, namely the shanim posel and spa. It has an upper limit. Past that age, you can't accept it as an egla rufa. And poraduma, there is no upper limit. So that shows that egla rufa is more chumra than poraduma. And poraduma, the pasuk says, asherein bomum. Paraduma has a mum is no good. Paraduma is also not a carbon. Paraduma is also not a carbon. But the pasuk calls it chatas kai rachmana. It's called chatas, he. And Parshas Chukas is called chatas. So the Gemara says, chatas kai rachmana has some of the dinim, not all the dinim, has some of the dinim like a carbon, chatas. And then the Gemara says, benigia to other dinim, I say that a paraduma is kacha better kabais. It's not a chatas. So that's a big problem. Where do you draw the line? That's Taisvis and the Brisker Rav have long arichasin. Where do you draw the line? With respect to which dinim do you say that paraduma has a din like a carbon chatos? With respect to which dinim do you say, no, that it's only kacha better kabais? But over here, when you get to this din, this is the initial kalvachaymer. Why shouldn't I say that a mum should passel by egla rufa mi kalvachaymer? Uma para is kal. Shein ha-shan apostel, but there's no upper limit how old it can be. Nonetheless, the pasuk says, mum paisel, but if you have a paraduma, that's a balmum, it's not acceptable. So egla rufa, Shishanim postlos, but it's more chomer than paraduma. That has obrush nasa is no good. After the first birthday, it's not kosher to serve as egla rufa. Ein din, shouldn't it be a kalvachaymer? The word din means a kalvachaymer. Shouldn't it be a kalvachaymer? Shehe amum paisel ba. And for the Gemara, no. Shani hasim teretz is damakra. Asher ein bamum. It's a gzeres akasu amiut. The word ba is amiut. What does it mean? Bamum paisel. Ein amum paisel begla. If you're telling me that the word bo, asherein bo mum, the word bo v'loy b'chavata, only bo. You tell me the word bo is a miut, ela me'ato, if that's true, lo yuhu shar avaydes paislas bo. The din is that paraduma and egla rufa have an unusual din that doesn't apply to karbonos. So let's say have a behema that I used on I used to ride on this animal. I used to use the animal to do avoida, to do plowing, and carry bundles and so on. And then a year later, I want to bring it as a korban. Gesundheit, there's no halacha that just because I used it for my personal use, you're not allowed to use it as a korban. A behemah, whether it was used while it was behemah chulin, or even if it is used after I was magdish it as a korban, even if I used it for my personal purposes, it's still kosher to use it as a korban. Once you magdish it, you're not allowed to use it for your personal purposes. That's mila behegdish. But just because you use it for personal things, doesn't passel it. Masheni came over here, by egla ruf and paraduma, you have this quirk of a din, that if you use it for malacha, it's passel. So the pasuk rather says, by paraduma it doesn't say. By egla ruf it says, ashaloi ubad ba. Ashaloi ubad ba. You didn't use the egla rufa to do an avoida. It was never used to do avoida. By paraduma never says ashaluba, but just says ashalo ol aleha ol. You never put a yoke on it. So how do you know that avoida, all shar avoidas, pasul a paraduma? So the Gemara says that's based on a kalvachaymer. So the Gemara says, but how can you make it based on a kalvachaymer? You just said that the word bo is a miut, and it says ashalo ubat bo by the egla rufa. It says ashalo ubat bo. So you should say bo v'loy bechavato, only ubat bo. Avoida passels egla rufa, but avoida shouldn't passel par, and the din is not so. That's what the Gemara asks. Break the Gemara. Gemara says the word bo is a miut. Bo mum passel ve mum passel ve. Ela meyato, break the Gemara, if that's true, that the word bo is a miut, lo yuhu shar avoida, is passel is bo. If you did avodah with a paraduma, shouldn't passel it, and the din is that it does passel. Allah ma'am Rabbi Yudah, Marab. Why did Rabbi Yudah say the name of Rabbi Hinechala Uda Shal Sakin? If you took a sack full of empty bags and you put it on top of the paraduma, psula, even though it doesn't say that in Chumash, it says Ashaloi Ol Aleha Ol. Ol is a yoke. It doesn't say if you put on a suitcase and it's carrying it. So Rab says, Shar Avayit is pasul. Ubegla Rufa, it only passes at Shetimshach. Only if the egla, it says Ashaloi Moshcha Ba'ol. So Egla Rufa is only becomes pasul if Moshcha, if it moved, carrying the bundle, and Paradum is Mochomer. So the Gemara says, why don't you say that the word Bo is a mute? It says Ashaloi Ubad Bo, Bo Veloi Bechavato, so Avayit should only passel by Egla Rufa. Shouldn't passel by paradum after the Gemara. Nay, that's a gzereshava. It's not a. If it would have only been a kavachaymer, you can dingzach and say, but there's a miut. But it's not a kavachaymer here. Here it's a gzereshava. Shiny part the afinan olal meegla rufa. Frag the Gemara. Wait a minute. If you have a gzereshava, ain't gzereshava la machza. A gzereshava means A is connected with B. So you learn out B from A, you learn out A from B. You don't just say one direction. That's what it means. Ain't gzereshava la machza. Frag the Gemara. Egla nami tesi olal mi paraduma. So why do you say that Balmum only passels by Paraduma, does not passel Egla Rufa? The Mishnah says, Ein Amum passel, but Mum doesn't pass by Egla Rufa. We tried to make a Kabachayma that it should passel, and we said, no, it's a Miyud Bo, but you have Gzereshova, and Gzereshova takes precedence over the Miyud Bo. You just said Gzereshova beats out the Miyud Bo. So the Gemara says, Egla Nami Tesei Olol Mi Paraduma, to say that a Balmum should be passel. Mar says, no, but you have the miut. Hamiut Rahmana Bo. Figma knew you have over here also the miut. Ashala Ubad Bo. So Bo is also a miut. Mar says, no, that Ashala Ubad Bo. Haume Boyle the Mute Kachim. That word Bo, that Avoida passels only by Egla Rufa, Ashala Ubad Bo, Veloi Bo, Veloi Bechavato, doesn't mean that Paraduma, Avoida doesn't passel. No, Avoida passels by Paraduma. Avoida doesn't passel by Shar Karbonis. If I have a behemoth I bring for a noila, shlamim, a korban pesach, a chatas, a noshim, whatever, and I used it on the farm to use it for work, but it doesn't have a mum. As long as it's not a bal mum, even though I used it for my own personal purposes originally, it's kosher to be makrib. So that's the word Ashelo Ubad Bo, says by Yegla Rufa, that's what it's memai. Tahu meboilo lemute kachim de lepasle buhu avoida. Why? Salkadai de chamina, one would have thought, laisi be kalvacham Yegla Rufa, it should be a kalvacham. Madach Egla Rufa, that a Balmum doesn't passel nonetheless, Avoida Poiselis Bo. If you do Avoida with Egla Rufa, it says in the Pasuk Ashela Ubad Bo. So Kochim Sharka Bonus, Shemum Poiselis Behem. That's today's parasha. If you have a carbon that has a mum, it's possible. Ain't a din, shouldn't it be a Kavachemish Avoida Poiselis Behem? So that's why you need the Miut of Bo.
But it's not a carbon. You said it's not a carbon.
It's not a carbon, but we're comparing the dinim. Then the Gemara is going to go on and on. Okay. The Gemara is going to discuss how do all the dinim, you should make a kabachamah from A to B to C, going to go around. Okay. In the beginning of Parshas Emor, the Parshas HaShavua, Rashi quotes the famous drosha from the Gemara in Yevamos. It says, Emor al-Kohanim v'yamarta aleyim. Says the same thing twice. Emor v'yamarta. So Rashi quotes, Lahazi g'doyle malaktanim. What does it mean, Lahazi g'doyle malaktanim? If you have a child, a little baby. Let's say a woman is married to a kohen, she has a baby boy. So when the kohen has daughters, the daughters are permitted to be metamei lemeis. The kohen has sons, so the bnei aharon are muzer. Melech kohen bnei aharon. Bnei aharon v'lo benos aharon. A bas kohen is permitted to go to a funeral, but bnei aharon, the zecharim, are not permitted to go to a funeral. So let's say... So let's say the baby was just born. He's only a month old. It's a tiny baby, it's a katan shalah, he gilachina, doesn't understand anything about anything. So the mother is prohibited to take him along to the funeral. So the Gemara says, yes, she's not allowed to, it's a nisa deraisa. Emma vamarta lahazik dala malaktan. That's called losafina le biyadaim. You're not allowed to feed treifis to a little baby biyadaim. Let's say, why do we have kosher baby food? Sachatinak shalah, a baby, a little infant, shalah, he gilachina, doesn't understand what kashvis is all about. So nonetheless, that's an Issa Deraisa. You're not allowed to give him treifus. You're not allowed to be metamehim. In fact, the Rambam writes on Mechudish Dikadin, it doesn't say in the Gemara, the Rambam must have it from the Yerushalmi, if someone is metame a kohen, I get malchus. I pull a kohen into a cemetery, and he doesn't know what's going on. I say, come with me, I'm going to take you somewhere. And then he's b'shogeg, he doesn't know where he's going. And I take him into the cemetery, and they gave me hasra, don't schlep the kohen in. So the Rambam says, I get malchus. If I schlep the kohen in, and I say, come into the cemetery with me, and the kohen knows that he's not allowed to go there, so I wasn't machshel him. So he deserves malchus. If they didn't give hasra, he won't get malchus. But if the kohen was b'shogeg, and I was b'mezid, so the Rambam says, I get the avera. I'm not a kohen b'chlal. I get the malchus, but being b'tami the kohen. So that's a din deraisa, lahazik d'olam alaktanim, that lo safin alei biyadayim. It's machlekes, the Rambam and the Rashba, does it only apply to Isurim deraisa, or even to Isurim derabanan? So the Rambam is machmer, even by Isurim derabanan, and that's usually the minhag ha'olam, that we don't, let's say there's an area where there's no Erev, but it's only a karmelis, it's not an isa deraisa. So he permitted to give little children candies to carry to shul that they want to eat. I'm not allowed to give him my talis he should carry to me, for me, to shul. I'm asking him to carry for me. That I'm not allowed to do. I want to give him candies he should take it. See, if he understands what Shabbos is all about, so that's chinuch. You're not allowed to do it. But let's say he's so young, he doesn't understand anything about Shabbos. So is it permissible or not? So the Rambam says you're not allowed to. The Rambam says even an Issa derabbanan is also lo safin alei biyadayim, you're not allowed to. If it's only an Issa mitam minik, it's not even a din derabbanan, let's say kitnius. You have a little baby, he doesn't understand what Pesach is all about, and Ashkenazim don't eat kidneys, and many of the candies have kidneys in them. So that Rav Avadya Yosef writes that even for Ashkenazim don't eat kidneys, but there's no Issa of Losafin Alei Biyadayim. The Rambam is only Mechulik with the Rashba by Nisa de Rabbanon. If it's only a thing that's also Mitaminik, then this din doesn't apply. The Shad is, what's the nature of the din? What's the nature of the din? Is it because the cotton right now is lo higia lechinuch? But someday he's going to grow up, he's going to become bar mitzvah. So it's already ashtik lechinuch. The chinuch begins already before he's a gil lechinuch, before subconscious chinuch, before he even realizes what's going on, it's already a din lechinuch. What if chalila, someone has a child who's a cherish or a shaita? A cherish means retarded, and the doctors don't see that the child is going to straighten out, it's going to remain retarded. Or shaita, the person is deranged. He's never going to straighten out. The doctors don't foresee a possibility of him straightening out. So that was a big machlokes. Nadi Behuda's son has a collection of shalos hatshuvos. They printed now, they call it Nadi Behuda Chela Gimel, because they want to make money. So they sell three volumes of the Nadi Behuda. The Chela Gimel is by the son. Years ago, it's called Shalos Shivas Tzion. That's not the Nadi Behuda. That's the Nadi Behuda's son. They're very good shuvos. They're very strong. Many of the tshuvas in the Nadi Yehuda are written by the son. He has his name. He took over the father's rabbanis in Prague. So the Nadi Yehuda has the son has a tshuva in the Shivas Tzion. He thinks that he quotes from the Issa v'Heter, from the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi, not the Rabbeinu Yoina Gerandi. The Issa v'Heter is quoted on every page in Yoreh Day, the Issa v'Heter. The Issa v'Heter writes in one place that this din, Shalos Safin Alei Biyadayim, is a shtikl, a style of chinuch. So because the child is going to grow up later, so it's a bad chinuch to give him the treif baby food. Even though he's lo higia lechinuch, mitam chinuch, you're not allowed to feed him. So, what? Okay, that's an Indian. That's an Indian. But this is an Issa. This is not just an Indian. This is a real Issa. And so he has a tshuva, he says, that's only about cotton, shalo higia lechinuch, but someday he's going to grow up. But what if it's a cherish or a shoita, then it should be mutter, based on the Issa v'Heter. So the Chassam Sofer pulled out like a needle in a haystack, literally. Chassam Sofer quotes one line in a Rashba in the middle of Gittin, nothing to do with that daf in the middle of Gittin. The Rashba writes, even by a cherish and a shoita. So the Chassam Sofer has that tshuva, that the father has a retarded child, that he whatever, and he wants to put him into a home, a government institution. And the home feeds tray for food. So what do you do? We have to have, unfortunately, there are Jewish people who have children who need the care. You can't keep a child. It's very difficult to keep a child at home. You can go out of your mind. So if you have a kosher facility, you should put in a kosher facility. But if you don't have, is it permissible to put him in a non-kosher facility? So the Chassam Sofer disagrees with the Shivas Tzion. He says if it's a machlokes between the Issa v'Heter and the Rashba, so the Rashba is a more significant posik. The Rashba writes beferish that the Issa also is possibly a dayim doesn't only apply to the cotton who someday will become bar mitzvah. He says it even applies to the cherish and the shaita. But the Chassam Sofer is makel for a different reason. He says it's only called Safina Le Biyadayim if you feed the child, you're giving a mamish the food. Or you put the sandwich in front of the kid and you tell him to eat. That's called Safina Le Biyadayim. But you put him in a non-kosher facility and they're going to give him the food. So some Sefer said that's not called L'sposa Biyadayim.
Very strange.
And others disagree. Others disagree with the Chassam Sefer. That's also called L'sposa Biyadayim. So that's a big shayla halacha l'maisa. What do you do with the child? We don't have kosher facilities. What to do with such a child? Are you allowed to put him in the trefa facility or not? But it's all based on this pasuk, the opening pasuk of Parsha Samar.
Yeah.
Public same thing.
Yeah. They have a picture of the Gera Rebbe with his son before Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah.
The son is carrying his shtreimel. Someone took a picture. So they said the only way shtreimel on Shabbos